This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me this week on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, doing a crossover edition of Locked On Warriors and Locked On Magic. I'm Wes Wolberg, host of Locked On Warriors, here with Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic, doing a mock trade call negotiation of sorts. And this, Philip, on the heels of the news that Aaron Gordon is ready to move on from Orlando, that the Magic have been eagerly shopping him around. Before we get into some of these trade talks, what's the latest that you could tell us about Aaron Gordon, his status with the Magic?
Yeah, I mean, this has kind of been a slow trickle that's quickly turned into a bit of a deluge of information. I mean, the Magic are kind of notorious for keeping things really close to the vest. So the fact that so much of this has been leaking out over the last week, you know, I doubt it's coming from the Magic side, but the fact that so much of this is leaking out is just a clear sign that something is up, that something is going to happen. I mean, obviously, the Magic haven't had the season that they would like to have. They're sitting in 14th in the Eastern Conference after back-to-back playoff appearances, and it just kind of feels like this group has kind of run its course. And so, obviously, Aaron Gordon has one year left on his contract after this season. It feels like the maximum time to use that trade capital, and the Magic are in line for a high draft pick. So it feels like a natural point to kind of reset the roster a little bit with hopefully Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz coming back from torn ACLs next year.
Okay, so that's a key point that you make, who you're building around being Fultz and Isaac. What kind of players should the Magic be looking for? And I guess to take this conversation even further, what kind of players do the Warriors have on their roster who may sort of fit that bill?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first place to start with is the reason, the big reason why the Magic haven't been able to kind of take that next step with the group that they have is they just don't have enough three-point shooting. You know, you look at Jonathan Isaac, he's an improving three-point shooter, but I don't think he quite has gravity to him yet. Markelle Fultz is still considered a non-shooter in the league, and I think that's fair to say, even with his improved percentages. And so, you know, what the Magic need more than anything else, if those are the two guys are going to build around, and of course they'll have a rookie coming in the 2021 draft that is probably going to be looking at, it's certainly going to be right, a top six or seven pick in a draft that's very well thought of at the very top. But the Magic just need shooting to space the floor and give those guys a little bit of room to work. I mean, you look at the Magic this year, yes, injuries have really gutted the roster of any kind of depth whatsoever, but Evan Fournier and Nikola Vucevic and Terrence Ross are essentially the only shooters on the floor. And, right, you know, they're not drawing the defense out a lot. So I think the big thing the Magic are looking for in any trade and really any acquisition is just to boost the offense. Steve Clifford is a really well thought of defensive coach. I mean, the fact that the Magic this year are still like 17th or 18th in defensive rating and still finish in the top half of the league defensively is a pretty crazy thing to think about considering everything that they're without. Their offense just can't sustain any type of defensive progress that they're making. So shooting is priority number one. I don't think Golden State's going to let go of Stephen Curry. I don't think that would be a good decision. Klay Thompson either. So, you know, the Magic are probably going to be mining these rosters for shooters. So, you know, Kelly Oubre, you know, I know he struggled from beyond the arc this year, but is probably a guy that has been on their list for a while.
All right, so let's just go there. As far as where the Warriors are, you know, the Aaron Gordon thing makes sense to me in regards to this type of players that they tend to like, maybe the sort of player that they're trying to find, right? Somebody who's young, who has, I don't know, all-star potential, I think is a fair, you know, evaluation of Aaron Gordon. He's 25 years old. He's under contract for next season. And so these are the things I think the Warriors would be looking at. Plus, he's versatile, specifically on defense. He could play the three, the four. Maybe even small ball five for you in the pinch. You know, the Warriors have not shied away from going super small, even with guys like Eric Paschal playing the five this season. So that versatility on defense makes sense. Offensively, there's a production value there as well. And, you know, I know that the Warrior, we've heard Aaron Gordon mentioned in some of these recent reports and rumors as somebody that the Warriors have at least made calls about or overtures or whatever we want to call it. Philip, I don't know, but at least somebody they have an eye on. From people who I talk to in the Warriors front office, I know that they're being very aggressive when it comes to this and that they are looking at next season as their priority, even though they don't want to take a major step back this season. I think that remains a priority, but not as much of a priority as basically getting this thing to a championship caliber group for next year when Klay Thompson comes back. So with all that in mind, let's have some fun. Let's do the trade negotiations here. I think the first thing we'll start with is those two key names that we're talking about, Aaron Gordon and Kelly Oubre. Now, Gordon is under contract for $18.1 million now. Kelly Oubre at $14.3 million. He'll be unrestricted as a free agent this summer. So the Warriors will have to add some salary to that, to Oubre's deal in order to make this work. So for me, Philip, I mean, the first two names that I would throw in, at least for salary matching purposes, that wouldn't saddle your, you know, cap situation going forward, would be Brad Wanamaker and Kent Bazemore. Two guys on expiring deals making a little bit more than $2 million this year. You throw them all into this type of deal and the Warriors would be sending out $18.9 million while the Magic would be while the Warriors would be taking in Aaron Gordon's $18.1 million deal. Does that at least start like, or sound like the starting point for a foundation for a trade?
I think it's at least a starting point. I mean, I think Brad Wanamaker, I mean, he's got a little bit of a reputation as a shooter around the league. I think that's the beginnings of kind of the young prospects the Magic are looking for. You know, certainly, obviously, Oubre has to match salaries. And I should note for your listeners that last year at the trade deadline, the Magic reportedly had discussions with Phoenix for an Aaron Gordon for Kelly Oubre swap. So I think that there is at least some interest in Kelly Oubre. Now, was that because Oubre had that extra year on his contract so the Magic would have the year to figure things out with him rather than taking on an expiring? I don't know. I mean, I kind of took some of that with a grain of salt. Phoenix has also had a longstanding interest in Aaron Gordon. And I think he would fit their roster really well too. But I always kind of took that with a grain of salt. And then obviously Oubre got hurt. The Magic were still hunting for the playoffs. You know, his shooting kind of dipped up and down. I think Oubre is the place to start. I'm not sure if that's quite what the Magic are looking for. I don't think the Magic are looking for cap room this offseason. I think similar to the Warriors, but on a smaller scale. The Magic want to be back in the playoff conversation next year. They obviously have some guys coming back from injury. They'll obviously have a rookie, but I don't think the Magic are looking to make this kind of big grand rebuild. I think they're looking to make this a reset. And so they're looking for obviously a kind of veteran player to match salaries. But I do think that the real prize for the Magic is going to be what they get kind of on the margins, those secondary players, those young prospects they get. So, you know, Brad Wanamaker, from a skill level perspective, I think gives the Magic what they want. The real question in this deal for me is, do the Magic want to re-sign Kelly Oubre to a four-year deal? Are they going to essentially use him to replace Evan Fournier almost in the lineup? And I think Oubre checks off a lot of boxes, and I think the Magic are definitely going to sit there and think about it. I don't know if that's quite the deal they want to make, especially with how much Oubre has struggled from beyond the arc this year. I know he's had kind of an up-and-down season, but how would you evaluate him and his role with the Warriors so far this year?
I think defensively, he gives you a lot of what a fringe playoff team really needs. I could say that at least for the Warriors, because that's what the Warriors are this year, right? Is a fringe playoff team. And to have that night-to-night energy and disruptive nature on the defensive end has been, to me, a real boost, I think, for the Warriors this year. It's just one of those things that you just need dudes like that, right? Through like the dog days of a regular season, guys that are just going to come out, the energy level never wavers, whether they are winning or losing or getting blown out in the fourth quarter. That kind of stuff is really important. And it's the sort of thing that endears Kelly Oubre to coaches like Steve Kerr, like it might for like a guy like Steve Clifford. And so defensively, I think he's been a real value add. Offensively, he's got this ability to just, even on an off night, to score 12 points, which is a skill, right? And there's, you know, there are efficiency concerns, but the shooting, that's not new. You know, he opened up the season missing his first 18 three-pointers, and every Warriors fan said, trade him, cut him, bench him, whatever it is, get this guy off the team. And I said back then, and I was like, I can't wait for a month from now when all we're doing is hearing about how great Kelly Oubre is and how I'm reading columns about how the Warriors found a keeper in Kelly Oubre and should not trade him. You know, a month from now when, you know, the reversion to the mean takes place and his three-point shooting goes off the charts. That's exactly what happened in February. And now in March, it's kind of come back down to earth, and he's right about league average. He's dealing with a wrist injury right now, so he's made like 4 of 20-something three-pointers since the All-Star break. But again, he's dealing with a wrist injury that does not seem to be like a long-term concern. But the efficiency stuff has always been there with Kelly Oubre, right? That's not new. He's always been a streaky shooter. And so if the Magic were registering interest with him, last season. I can't imagine that anything that they've seen this year would be surprising or devalue his ability. If anything, I think he's improved his value across the league because of what he's done defensively and his ability to kind of fit in with the Warriors system. It was rough at first. He didn't really know how to interact with Steph Curry on the floor and all the off-ball stuff that the Warriors like to do, but he's figured it out and he's been a real nice player for them. And so I think, again, in a vacuum, he's been a value add. The question is the contract. And from what I understand, he's probably going to get somewhere around $20 million a year. Four-year deal, about $20 million a year. That's kind of the expectation that Kelly Oubre can get this offseason. And if the Magic think that he would be of that sort of value, then I think we can continue to have these conversations. But if not, to your point, if you don't think that you would want to re-sign him for a four-year, $80 million deal or something in that range, then there's really nowhere else to go from here.
Yeah, and the Magic are at this point, you know, I think they're a couple million. I mean, they're scheduled to be, I think, like a couple million under the luxury tax line, you know, with Evan Fournier still sitting on the books. So I would imagine, and if Kelly Oubre is the guy that they want and they're willing to commit that 4 years, $80 million toward, that means that the Magic are salary dumping Evan Fournier into like Boston's a trade exception or mm-hmm. Or doing some other move with Evan Fournier to cut salary, and in that case, you know, taking on a Brad Wanamaker who is a restricted free agent next year, or Kent Bazemore just kind of taking on kind of salary ballast to make it work, and Kelly Oubre's the prize, then that makes sense. So I mean, definitely the question comes down to whether the Magic believe Kelly Oubre is their guy, and this is a point that I've made a lot when Magic fans have pitched me Buddy Hield deals, and I'm sure I'll make this point when we get to Andrew Wiggins, which would probably be the other iteration of this deal, is this the team you want to commit to? You've got Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz; they're about to start up their extensions. Mo Bamba's extension probably isn't going to happen at this point, but. You essentially got Nikola Vucevic on a big salary. Terrence Ross is on a fairly big salary, around $12, $13 million a year. And then Isaac's sitting at 16, 17. Fultz is sitting at 16. Is that the roster you want to move forward with for the next 3-4 years, essentially? I mean, Isaac's extension is 4 years long. That, you know, do you want to be kind of stuck into that team where it's, you know, Vucevic is will be on expiring, so maybe you'll move him along. But are on expiring next season, not this season, mm-hmm. not this season, or has the 2 years left on his deal next season, I should say. That's kind of the new expiring these days. But is that the team you want to be married to? And a big point that I've tried to make to people when you're taking on some of these bigger long-term contracts is if you're going to take that deal on, if you're going to take that risk, you better want to be married to that group. And I'm not 100% sure the Magic are there. Then again, you know, if the Magic are trying to enter this period of kind of a soft rebuild or a soft reset where, you know, they're ready to turn the keys over to Isaac and Fultz over the next couple of years, having veterans like Nikola Vucevic, like even a Kelly Oubre to kind of keep the team competitive while Isaac and Fultz both get healthy and learn to be the leaders on the team. Then maybe by the time those guys are ready to be those leaders, those guys will be in a better contract situation to move them along.
We'll be right back, but first, it's time to get in on Locker Room, the live audio-only sports talk platform where you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. As you may know, I've been using Locker Room this season to host live mailbag episodes where I field questions about the Warriors on the app, sort of like an old-school sports radio call-in show, but easier than ever to join, hang out, and talk. Locker Room is a free, audio-only social media platform for sports fans. Start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. I'll be hosting rooms every week, so make sure to keep those notifications on and come through. This week, I will be doing a live show on Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, doing all things trade deadline related. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter account, and then join the Warriors or NBA groups. Follow me at WC Goldberg on the app to be notified when my room goes live. Let's also talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, without the markup that you find at chain stores or car dealerships. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, and I actually really like Oubre's fit for the Magic, not only because I think Steve Clifford would get the most out of him, because he has an ability to utilize length on the defensive end from his players that is really, really beneficial to his guys, right? And, you know, if you kind of have that trio of Fultz, Oubre, and Jonathan Isaac, you're really switchable. You're able to do a lot of different things defensively. You've got a plus defender, at least theoretically, you know, at each level of the defense, right? At the point of attack with Fultz, and then on the perimeter with Oubre, and then by the rim potentially with Jonathan Isaac, and then you can unlock some lineups that way. Oubre can guard opposing guards and point guards and other, you know, small forward types. He's guarded everybody this year from, you know, Damian Lillard to LeBron James for Golden State, and has done, you know, as well as you can in those types of matchups. And so I think that could make, and look, he's 25 years old. He's a volume scorer. That kind of stuff matters. So if the Magic got to a point where they wanted to move Oubre. And the Magic are lacking that. Yeah.
Like they don't, like the biggest, one of the bigger issues the Magic have is, you know, Nikola Vucevic just put some 40-point games up this year, but they don't have a perimeter guy who can just drop 40 on a random Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like that's a bit, I mean, I love it. I love Evan Fournier. I think Evan Fournier is a really good player, but the thing about Evan Fournier is he's just consistent. He's going to get you 18 every night. And, mm-hmm. you know, there might be a stray night where he gets you 30, but they don't have, you know, the 50 point score, so to speak. Like I've joked around with people that I think Vooch might drop 50 on a game just because the Magic have no one else, but the center doing it's different than a perimeter guy doing. The Magic just don't have a perimeter guy. You know, Terrence Ross can get hot and drop 30, but, and he's had that 50, he has the famous 50 point game as mm-hmm. well, but the Magic just don't have a guy that can get his own shot, can beat good defense. And you know, Oubre's had those nights this year, and obviously having Steph Curry with his gravity helps a lot, but Oubre has had those nights. You know, Gordon has had those nights every once in a while, but you know, he's not as quality of a shooter. And obviously just coming off a 38 point game against the Nets, I should note, but you know, the Magic just don't have those perimeter guys who can create off the dribble and beat a good defense, which is what's ultimately doomed them in their two playoff appearances.
Right. And it's worth also noting that if you wanted to move on from Oubre at some point, it wouldn't, even at $20 million a year, you could probably trade him because of the nature of the way he scores and things like that. So
yeah. And I'll give the Magic credit on this too. Like if the Magic entered free agency and decided, you know, we're going to keep Kelly Oubre, and they've done a really good job structuring their contracts to decline. And so later on in the deal, they become more movable. Like, you know, I mean, we're talking about Aaron Gordon here. Aaron Gordon's contract declines next season. So that gives a lot of flexibility to a team. You know, I think that the Magic have been very creative with how they've structured their contracts under Jeff Weltman. So if they did bring back Kelly Oubre, they probably maximize how much they could pay him up front in that first year, and then cushion it a little bit down on the back end, so that when they do predict that they'll be ready to trade him and move on, they'll be able to much easier.
So I think there's the bones here for some sort of deal. But before we move forward with the Kelly Oubre talks, you mentioned Andrew Wiggins before. Should we at least talk about that subject? Because Andrew Wiggins for Aaron Gordon, we're talking about a very different kind of trade now, right?
Yep.
Because now the Magic would have to be matching salary, not necessarily the Warriors. And so what would be the interest in from the Magic in Wiggins?
I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing that we were talking about with Oubre. I mean, at least in theory, Andrew Wiggins is a guy who can create his own shot. He can play one-on-one a little bit. He can beat a set defense. I mean, that's what Wiggins was supposed to be. I mean, he's obviously a gifted scorer on a raw basis. I mean, 17.8 points per game this year, obviously down because he's playing next to Stephen Curry, who's a little bit more high usage than him. But the idea behind bringing in a player like Wiggins, I'm not saying I would prefer a Wiggins deal over an Oubre deal, but the idea behind bringing a player like Wiggins is he's still a young player. I mean, obviously on his second contract, but still a young player who has this unlimited potential, this top pick potential. And I mean, it's almost the same thing the Magic tried to do with Markelle Fultz, just bring in a young player into kind of a less pressure situation, a new environment, and kind of let him be him and give him the chance to play a little bit. Now, obviously the Fultz situation is a little bit different because Fultz just had this injury baggage with him in Philadelphia that he couldn't get past. And he needed a place that had a lot less pressure and a little bit more patience with him almost in the development curve. Wiggins obviously had plenty of time in Minnesota to prove that he could be that guy. And so, you know, that contract is obviously a bear to take on. And he just hasn't reached that potential. I mean, it's hard to figure out exactly what Wiggins would be on a winning team or on a championship level team. Is he kind of a super sixth man that can kind of be a star against second units? Like, what does he do when he's off the ball? Those are always the questions that have followed him. And obviously I think he's had a little bit of a renaissance in Golden State where he hasn't had to carry the franchise like he had to in Minnesota for a little bit of time. And those expectations have reset, but I don't buy him as your number one offensive guy. Now, then again, you know, hanging over all this, and this includes the conversation we had about Kelly Oubre, is, you know, the Magic are expected to get, are going to be in line for a top five pick in this year's draft. And so, you know, it's not that Orlando wants to overcommit to one position or should be afraid of overcommitting to a position, but the Magic also have to kind of have in their back pocket, like, what are we going to do in this draft? What kind of player are we looking at in this draft? And it's not to say they should hold the space open. Like, if they're picking five and Evan Mobley's there, I don't think they should pass on Evan Mobley because they have Nikola Vucevic and Mo Bamba there. You can always move guys or move pieces around to help young players out like that. But, you know, the Magic are expected to take, you know, if obviously top pick, take Cade Cunningham. If they're second or third pick, you know, Jalen Green's going to be their guy. You know, if they fall out of that top five, you know, those guys right outside, like a Moses Moody, you know, those are the kind of players they're going to be taking. So would you want to take on a player like Andrew Wiggins, who's going to soak up possessions from them and kind of do what those guys are trying to do anyway? That's as much of a question as anything else. And it follows with the Oubre question too. I mean, obviously Oubre, I think, can play a little bit more of a complementary role than Wiggins has, or can play it more naturally because of his shooting ability and his defensive ability. But the question is, you know, the question for the Magic just generally is, what do we want this team to be next year, 2 years, 3 years down the road when Isaac and Fultz are fully optimized?
Yeah, and the obvious roadblock to me when we're talking about the Warriors in regards to Wiggins, he's not untouchable, but there's not a lot that I think the Warriors would trade Wiggins for if it wasn't a clear upgrade. And I say that because he makes a lot of money, but that's almost valuable to this Warriors team that is going to be ready to take a big swing at a Bradley Beal, whoever becomes available. And you sort of need that type of salary. So if Wiggins were going to go out, you're going to now, even for just Aaron Gordon, maybe some other contracts that stack up, you're losing now, you know, that huge salary cap slot, and becomes a little bit tough, not impossible, but a little bit tougher for you to get up to the salary of a guy like Bradley Beal or whatever superstar becomes available next that's already signed to some sort of max contract. So that's the thing that the Warriors are kind of thinking about. And in regards to this trade conversation, I mean, so much about what they need to do now and next season is based on these salary cap slots. Like, Andrew Wiggins was the salary cap slot that they got from D'Angelo Russell, who they got in that sign and trade when Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn. And so the only reason you did that sign and trade for Russell was not because you love D'Angelo Russell as a player, because you wanted to maintain that flexibility and be able to get another max guy to basically replace Kevin Durant at some point. The same goes for Kelly Oubre. That was the trade exception created from the Andre Iguodala deal to Memphis. And they had to use that trade exception in order to keep, you know, a 15, 16 type of million dollars slot, which is a very good player in today's game, on the roster. And so that's the thing to think about for
my listeners, like, I thought Evan Fournier would have been a really good fit into that slot if the Magic were looking to sell players.
Right.
I just don't think the Magic were interested in taking back a draft pick and a trade exception because they still had aims on making the playoffs this year, even without Isaac. And then obviously things fell off the rails this year because of the Fultz injury. But, you know, I think that it's not, I know a lot of Magic fans were upset that the Magic didn't make that trade. And I was just like, you know, you look at the trades that were out there, like Kelly Oubre and Evan Fournier were kind of in the same salary slot, like you said, and the Thunder, I think, were willing to take on the trade exception.
That's right.
Or send out like kind of low level or take back low level picks for a guy like Oubre. The Magic weren't at that point yet. Now, you know, I think once you get to other trade discussions, are the Magic at that point now where they're just going to sell off Fournier to like the Celtics and a trade exception? That part I don't know yet. You know, I don't know if the Magic are thinking that way, but The point you're making about salary slots is absolutely right. I think the Magic originally with Aaron Gordon aimed him to be the guy that they would use to get the star that tied the roster together, and Gordon just didn't develop that way.
Right. So let's just tie the knot, I guess, put a bow on this Wiggins conversation. I just don't see it happening, Wiggins, for Gordon, just because if you're looking at the ways that a trade would work, it would be Aaron Gordon plus Terrence Ross or Aaron Gordon plus Al-Farouq Aminu to get up to that salary for Wiggins. And I don't think that's exactly what the Warriors are looking for. And I honestly don't, it doesn't really sound like that's what the Magic are looking for in an Aaron Gordon deal. So we could kind of move on from that. I will bring up Wiggins' name later on in a separate conversation I'd like to have with you. But let's get back to this Kelly Oubre, Aaron Gordon thing. You mentioned the shooting that they need, that the Magic need, and the kind of wins on the fringes that they have to get. And so I would adjust then my initial, I guess, proposal of which was Kelly Oubre, Brad Wanamaker, and Kent Bazemore. And let's swap Bazemore out for Michael Mulder, who put up Damian Lillard type numbers from 3-point range in the G League, granted, but is a proven 3-point shooter. The Warriors treat him as a 3-point specialist off the bench. He's in and out of the rotation, you know, just because he's young. He's 26 years old, but young is in regards to his NBA mileage. Under contract next year, though it's only partially guaranteed, so it gives you some flexibility. Whoever would be taking that deal on can play the 3 and the 2 for you. Underrated athleticism. He's 6'3", but he's got nearly a 7-foot wingspan, 42-inch vertical or something like that. And so there's stuff there to work with, and he's somebody that the Warriors are excited about, but I think would be willing to move. And like for the Magic, gives you that 3-point specialist, gives you something to work with, gives you somebody young, and could be one of those fringe wins that you were talking about.
Yeah, and I think Mulder would be probably the prospect. I mean, I think the two prospects the Magic would probably be interested or like ask about most from the Warriors bench is Eric Paschal, who obviously had the big year last year but has struggled this year, and I think the interest certainly in him has waned a little bit. But the other one would be Michael Mulder. You know, I, like you said, a lot of people probably don't know much about him, but you know, he can shoot the ball a little bit, and you know, it's certainly with a guy like him, it's about opportunity. To make this deal work. You know, like I said, like I think that most of what the Magic are looking for is kind of deals where the big salary is not the salary they're interested in. And with Golden State, Kelly Oubre would be the salary that they're interested in. So, you know, if the Magic did this deal, like we said, it would be with the intention of re-signing Kelly Oubre. But to get a shooter like Michael Mulder, and to get a shooter like Brad Wanamaker, the rights to the shooter like Brad Wanamaker, that would boost this bench tremendously. You know, I think one of the biggest issues, you know, Terrence Ross has had kind of an up and down year for the Magic this year. And a lot of that's just because the Magic's depth has been so gutted that he's essentially the only player on the bench that's able to do anything. He's the only player on the bench that has any threat to score, and defenses are just focusing on him. So, you know, the Magic like to run Terrence Ross off cuts. They like to move him around off the ball to get him shots. And he's just so good at getting his shots off in small spaces. To have other shooters on the floor around him would make him significantly better. And so, you know, again, just adding the point that I've been trying to hammer home throughout the course of the year now is, you know, the margin for error becomes much wider when you can shoot the ball, when your offense can bail you out of a bad defensive game. And the fact is this Magic team just can't do that.
So, and I should also note that this addition of the deal, the salaries match almost exactly. I mean, we're talking about the difference of $6,000 versus the Bazemore deal, which sends the Magic a little bit more money than the Warriors. The matching, it works almost perfectly. And in regards to this trade for the Warriors, Aaron Gordon now is a little bit of a funky fit, even if you move on from Oubre, because you've got step. And again, everything's about looking at next year. This year, whatever. You'll still be like a fringe playoff team if you bring it or Aaron Gordon in and swap him for Oubre. But it's all about next year and what everything fits next year. And so you've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and presumably James Wiseman starting at center next season. Where does that leave Aaron Gordon? That to me is a worthwhile question. He overlaps with Draymond Green and Eric Paschal a little bit. I don't think, like to your point about what the Magic should do with drafting, you don't not get a player of Aaron Gordon's talent if that's ultimately what you need to do in order to make something out of this Kelly Oubre cap slot. But he could come off the bench for you, unlock some small ball lineups. You can move Draymond Green to the 5. Aaron Gordon could play the 4. And that keeps Andrew Wiggins the 3. Or maybe you're able to sell a bench role, like the next Andre Iguodala type role, to Andrew Wiggins. And now he comes off the bench for you at $30 million a year, but whatever. He comes off the bench for you, and you're able to slot Aaron Gordon in there at the 3. He's a tweener 3-4, I think, best case scenario, right?
I know. Yeah, I mean, the Magic experimented him a little bit at the three. And obviously, I don't think they had the spacing or the gravity that Golden State has with Steph and Klay out there. And Gordon's actually, you know, and this should be pointed out, has actually been a really surprisingly good shooter this year. He hasn't played a lot this year because of nagging injuries throughout the course of the season and then the ankle sprain that he just came back from. But for the year, I think he's shooting plus 40%. On catch and shoot threes. So, you know, if you can, I mean, obviously you have Steph creating gravity. If you get him a standstill three-pointer, he's going to hit it. But the biggest concern with Gordon has always been just his desire to be, you know, the joke around the Magic fandom. And I think Zach Lowe of ESPN really crystallizes it well. You know, Aaron Gordon has always been this player with like the angel and the devil on his shoulder. And the devil tells him he needs to play like Kobe and be the superstar. And the angel says you should be the next Draymond Green or you should be the next Sean Marion. And so it always intrigued me that Golden State had all this interest in him because I was like, you know, he needs to be Draymond Green. Are you angling him to replace Draymond Green one day? Which, you know, maybe he could do because he's proven he can be, you know, a solid playmaker and passer. When he's focused and dialed in, he's obviously a really good defender. I mean, he's always said he's at aspirations of being an all defensive team player. And he can shoot the ball a little bit. You know, I think he's, you know, he might be a better shooter than Draymond Green. I don't want to speak too far out of turn. But the question has always been, what does Aaron want to be? And obviously in Orlando, and this is something that's going to really intrigue me when the Magic do move him along. In Orlando, they've always asked him to be a primary scorer and primary creator, and that's not his best role. So I'm very curious to see what happens right. When he's with a guy like Steph Curry, with a guy like Klay Thompson, right. Who is just very clearly better than him. Like, he cannot argue like those guys shouldn't have the ball more than he does. Like, in Orlando, you know, is he really going to listen and say like, oh, Evan Fournier should be taking these shots? Like, you know, everyone has an ego, you know, and I think the Magic have found a, you know, when the Magic were really good, they found a balance, but everyone has an ego and Aaron certainly has a little bit of a, it's my turn, you know, let me score. Let me have a big game type of attitude to him. And so when you have Steph and Klay, I don't think you can have that. I don't think you can right. Say like, no, those guys should shoot the ball. You know, Aaron Gordon going to a team that has a little bit more of an established pecking order where he's not being relied on so much offensively. And well, honestly, I think his scoring numbers will go up because he'll have the space as a shooter with the attention that Steph is garnering now. And then eventually when Klay comes back, the attention that Klay garners, that he'll be better suited for that role and become a better player.
We'll be right back, but first let's talk about BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA season is in full swing, and we are at the peak of March Madness, one of the biggest betting events of the year. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, and if your bracket is busted, you can get back in on the March Madness action. But only at betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And speaking of March Madness and brackets, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar. And now is the time to find out which Built Bar is best in Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is between coconut brownie chunk and lemon almond cheesecake. Now This one's a pretty good matchup. You guys know that I don't love coconut flavored things, but the coconut brownie chunk is, I think, the one exception just because those brownie chunks are so delicious. That said, the lemon almond cheesecake is crisp, it's fruity, it's tart. I think the flavors are awesome combined with that chocolate covered coating. It's just one of the best protein bars, one of the best protein bars, and certainly one of the best Built bars available. So my vote is going to lemon almond cheesecake to move on. You can decide as well at builtbar.com or go to their Twitter account bar_built so that you can vote on the bracket. And while you're there, remember to use the promo code locked15 to get 15% off your next order. That's locked15 to get 15% off on your next order at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. I think that would be the bet that the Warriors make. And even if you brought Oubre back, right, if you don't make this kind of trade and you just try, if you're the Warriors, you say, you know what, we're not happy with any of the offers we're getting, let's roll the dice on bringing Oubre back. Now you have to at least sell to Oubre a role of, hey, we're going to pay you whatever it costs, but you're going to have to come off the bench for us. You don't have to do that necessarily with Aaron Gordon and Andrew Wiggins as much because they're under contract next season. So you don't have to deal with that conversation this summer and roll the dice, so to speak. And so, you know, I mentioned, like, it's not the cleanest fit, but it's not so bad that you can't figure it out. And it's something that you could figure out going into next year. And you don't have that thing hanging over you for the rest of this season about, hey, are these guys even going to be on the roster next season? All right. You'll figure out who between Wiggins and Gordon would come off the bench, and basically they're under contract. So if they don't like it, oh well, you know, and Aaron Gordon and Andrew Wiggins aren't the kinds of guys that are going to be able to demand a trade from the Warriors and get the rest of the NBA to start making phone calls, right? Like they're not of that position.
And I mean, even in Orlando, Gordon's probably not of that position. It's just the sense that Orlando's ready to sell.
That's right.
Orlando's a playoff. Orlando, like, again, Eastern Conference, I know. Orlando is a playoff caliber team. They've got guys who've been in the playoffs. They have guys who've shown some value in this league on a winning team. It's just a matter of the Magic, you know, willing to meet the market demand. And I think that's why the Magic, you know, didn't make moves in the offseason this year, is that they weren't ready to meet that demand. And I think finally what the Magic are looking to do and what the market is asking them to do is coming closer and closer.
So for entertainment purposes, Philip, do we just, for our listeners, do we pull the trigger on this trade? I think the Warriors would do that. I think they would do a deal of Oubre, Mulder, and Wanamaker.
I think that this is one that the Magic keep in their back pocket. You know, from everything I can gather about how the Magic operate, is they listen to everything. You call them, they're going to listen to it. They're going to put it down on their whiteboard, or maybe I shouldn't say whiteboard, but they're going to put it down on their list and explore it. And I think the way that this front office is operating right now is, obviously there are a ton of offers on the table for Aaron Gordon, if you believe all the rumors that are out there. And I do think that there are a lot of things on the table for them. I would imagine that the Magic would look at this and say, you know, this is one that we've done a lot of research on already with Kelly Oubre. You know, we can keep this in our back pocket. And if nothing else really emerges, you know, I don't imagine Golden State shopping Kelly Oubre around aggressively, if I'm gathering things correctly.
I think they are being a little bit more aggressive than they are letting on. I would say this, I think the Warriors would have the same sort of approach, right? Like, this is one that they would be like, all right, this is a good deal. This works for what we're trying to accomplish. But because the Aaron Gordon fit is not the cleanest, maybe you do end up calling Atlanta about Bogdan Bogdanovic and figuring out if he's more of an available player who's, you know, more of a slash and kick kind of guy, can drain open threes at a little bit better of a rate than Aaron Gordon, not as good as a defender, but can compete at that end, guard the same sort of positions that Oubre was able to defend. That to me, I think would be another target that you could probably have a conversation with a similar type of package, right? You're not going to have to throw in the Minnesota pick for Bogdan Bogdanovic. So I think, they're both in the same spot, but this would be maybe a fallback, maybe not even a fallback, but just something that, like, all right, this is good. Let's canvas the rest of the league and basically use this as the benchmark.
Yeah. And I think that's fair to say. I mean, if you're asking me, I don't think the Magic are necessarily interested in another 4-year, $80 million contract. I mean, I think if that's what's left to them on the table and there's nothing else really, they have really two options in front of them. Obviously, and Kelly Oubre deal won't be on the table in the offseason. I really think that the Magic can look at everything and say, you know, are we sure this is the time to move Aaron Gordon? Are the deals out there to move Aaron Gordon? Because, you know, he's under contract next year. They can wait until the draft to make a decision. I mean, yes, Gordon reportedly asked for a trade, but that doesn't mean they have to answer that request. I mean, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to still try, but if it's not there, it's not there. Now, this leaking out makes me think that they're pushing a little bit harder for a trade than in previous iterations, and makes me think that, yes, something is more likely to happen than not by Thursday. But, you know, I think that the Magic can still sit in a little bit of a position of power and say, okay, we need to make sure we get what we want. And ultimately, what I think the Magic are trying to do is accomplish a couple things. They want a rotation level player for sure. But I think more importantly is they want a young rotation level player and they want to get some financial flexibility. And that's why I think they're probably looking at trying to use a veteran to match contracts and make the real prize the young player they acquire, or the rookie scale deal that they require, the just past rookie scale deal that they acquire in addition to the salary match that they're getting. Now, you know, like we said, is Michael Mulder and Brad Wanamaker are good young pieces to add? Absolutely. I mean, I think that those guys would be good to add, but are they the kind of super impact young players the Magic are looking for? No. In this case, acquiring Kelly Oubre would be to acquire and re-sign Kelly Oubre. And I'm just not sure that that's the Magic's preference for a deal. If that's the path they have to walk, I think that's the path that they'll be willing to walk. But I don't think that's their preference at the end of the day. And in any case, I mean, I think this shows that for the Magic, the Aaron Gordon deal is going to come first, and whatever they get for Evan Fournier comes second.
All right. So let's last thing that I'll point out in regards to an Aaron Gordon to Kelly Oubre swap. Aaron Gordon grew up in the Bay Area, San Jose native. So that would be fun. And Kelly Oubre from New Orleans. So not Orlando exactly, but still the Southeast. Right. And so that would be some fun storylines there.
Yeah. We got some fun New Orleans style restaurants down here.
That's true. What there is one, isn't there one on Church Street? Where is that?
There's Tibby's, which is, I've actually not been there. I've had food from there, but I've not actually been there. Tibby's is, I think, in near Seminole County, I want to say, which is the county north of Orange County, which is where Orlando is. And of course, we have Universal Mardi Gras, which is not really Mardi Gras, but they throw beats out anyway.
Yeah, Oubre will fit right at home. And so one last player we have to talk about while I have you on the phone. Nikola Vucevic is a guy that has been of interest to Warriors fans, and it makes sense, right? All-star level center, under contract, does all the things that a Steve Kerr center traditionally has done at a superstar, at an all-star level, as opposed to, you know, guys like Bogut and Zaza Pachulia, where he's able to shoot the ball, get a ton of rebounds for you, be a big body in the middle of the paint, but also do all the facilitating, all this stuff that Steve Kerr centers love to do and have had to do in this motion offense. Vucevic, I think this is how this conversation would actually go in real life. If I'm Bob Myers and I'm calling you the Magic about Vucevic, I think the question is, hey, what do you think it would take?
I think to get Nikola Vucevic from any team, I think it would take an all-star level player or a player that is clearly on track to become an all-star. You know, in the Warriors case, that would be a deal that I think a lot of Magic fans were focused on in the offseason was James Wiseman. Would you be willing to give up James Wiseman for Nikola Vucevic? Would you be willing to give up Minnesota's pick this year for Nikola Vucevic? I think those are the kind of assets the Magic are looking for in a Nikola Vucevic deal. I mean, I think the Magic, like I said, they want to be a playoff team again next year. In the Eastern Conference, I know that's not very difficult, but they want to be a playoff team again next year, but they have two guys that are going to be coming off of major injuries. You know, as good as rehab and medical stuff is in the NBA today, the ACL injuries still take time to recover from. It's, you know, from everything I've read, it's about a year to recover and get back on the court, and then maybe another year to be fully healthy and back to 100%. And obviously guys do it. It's not that guys don't do it. It just takes time. And so next year for the Magic is going to be another kind of a transition season. Jonathan Isaac's going to have good nights and bad nights as he gets back from a torn ACL. You know, Markelle Fultz, you know, we don't know when he's going to be back. He tore his ACL in January. He could be back for training camp, or it could be the All-Star break. It's going to take a while for him to get his legs back under him again. And so I really feel like the Magic want Nikola Vucevic there to stabilize the roster, just to be a consistent drumbeat and a consistent guy that they can turn to every night. You know, I don't think what he's done this all-star season, this has been by far the best season of his career. I don't think that this is something that's just going to go away. I don't think that this is a style of play that it doesn't age well. I mean, he's 30, 31 now. He's not playing like a super athletic style. This is, if his jumper keeps getting better and keeps staying where it is, he's going to be able to do this for a little while longer. And so I think the Magic are really asking for a lot for Nikola Vucevic. Again, I keep thinking it's got to be a star player or a player on track to become a star to replace what the Magic are losing in Nikola Vucevic.
So that would be the question for the Warriors is, are you willing to move off of James Wiseman and all of the, you know, basically unlimited upside that he has? I know it's been a rocky rookie season, but from everything we have seen, I don't think it's fair to put a ceiling on him right now. But he's 19. He's, you know, obviously young. He plays very young. And if this is a Warriors team that has championship aspirations next year, I don't know what you could realistically expect from James Wiseman in regards to making an impact on a team that wants to win the title, right? Like that's fair. Both things could be true, where his potential could be of superstar caliber, but that he's probably not hitting that potential within the next two seasons. And so for the Warriors, the question becomes, how do you maximize Steph Curry's window? Do you want to maximize Steph Curry's window? Everybody in the Warriors will say, yes, of course we want to maximize Steph Curry's window, but I'll believe it when I see it because, you know, having a guy like Wiseman, I don't know necessarily does that. I don't think the roster they currently have does maximize Steph's window. So I can't speak to where the Warriors front office is right now. I've had a really hard time reading whether or not they would, I shouldn't say that. They have basically said, Wiseman would come off. They would part with Wiseman if it was for a perennial all-star. Now, Nikola Vucevic has multiple all-stars, but he's 30. Those are Eastern Conference all-stars. So, you know, say what you will
and
about that.
And we love Nikola Vucevic down here. He just got it. He was probably the last guy in both years.
Right. And so I don't know. Like that's really like, now you're talking about, all right, what's the threshold of type of player you would be willing to move Wiseman for? And I think Vucevic probably falls somewhere underneath wherever that line of demarcation is in the NBA, right? Like a guy like a Zach LaVine, that would be more of maybe an interesting type of player. Like maybe falls above
that. And again,
that.
I think Golden State has to consider some of like Vucevic's weaknesses too. Like, right. Yes, Vucevic is a better defender than people give him credit for, but you know, he's not Andrew Bogut where, you know, Bogut was a great rim protector. Vucevic is not blocking shots. He's good positionally. And once he understands the defensive scheme, he's going to be in the right spots and challenge shots. But I think we see in the playoffs, you know, we saw how Toronto bullied him in the playoffs 2 years ago. We saw, you know, even Milwaukee was able to still get into lane. And obviously they got Giannis, which makes things a lot easier. But, you know, my big concern with Vucevic, you know, as a trade chip for some of these teams that are really contending is, you know, when you get deeper into the playoffs, when you're really talking about the cream of the crop, can you really win with a center that isn't a shot blocker, that isn't a rim protector, that isn't keeping guys out of the lane? I mean, that's the next big question that Nikola Vucevic is going to have to answer as far as his career progression. I mean, he showed that he can be effective offensively in the playoffs after, you know, he struggled with the Raptors bigs in 2019. But can he be that ace defender that you need, that backline defender that you need to win major playoff games? And I think that's ultimately something that, you know, again, James Wiseman, even if he's not all you want him to be offensively, you can teach him to be a pretty good defender right off the bat. And even if he's not the superstar that you want him to be during his rookie contract, you know, I think you could still use him as a rebounder and shot blocker during this window that the Warriors have right now.
And in regards to Vucevic's fit, you know, the Warriors have made the most out of guys who, you know, traditional lumbering type of bigs, Bogut, Pachulia, who some of the same limitations that we're talking about regarding Vucevic, but those guys, first of all, they were surrounded by all NBA defenders like Andre Iguodala and Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. And Draymond Green is very clearly in another phase of his career. And Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala are not on the roster anymore. So you don't have, and we don't know what Klay Thompson's going to look like, by the way, coming off of this. I think he's still going to be the all-world shooter he was, but I don't think he's going to have the same sort of quickness or effectiveness on the defensive end as before these two major lower body injuries. So there's questions about if you can even make up for that type of player. And Vucevic getting paid almost $30 million a year versus Bogut and Pachulia, who are making basically the league minimum. So a little bit of a difference there too. All right. So just for the sake of doing this, because we should, to me, I think the way a fake trade would work, the way a deal would work for Vucevic would be Wiseman and Kelly Oubre plus like take your pick salary filler, Brad Wanamaker, Ken Bazemore, Michael Mulder, whoever it would be. But basically Wiseman and Oubre plus whatever salary filler for Vucevic. That would be the offer if the Warriors decided that Vucevic did hit the minimum threshold type player that you're willing to part with James Wiseman for, and if Wiseman, and if, you know, the Magic were intrigued in James Wiseman during the draft process in the first place. So with those things aside, that would be to me the way you would construct a deal, or Wiseman plus Andrew Wiggins plus Kevon Looney for Nikola Vucevic and Evan Fournier. Those would be the money basically is exactly even in both scenarios. So those would be the two, I think, types of deals that would be able to get this done if both teams came to the conclusion that they wanted to get a deal done.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously Wiseman's the prize there. I think I would lean more toward the Oubre iteration of that deal. Mm-hmm. You know, again, just because of the little bit of financial flexibility you might get there. But But
I think
I think the
Warriors would too, by the way, because you would keep.
Yeah, most Magic fans have been pitching me the Wiggins idea again because of the idea of what Wiggins is rather than what he actually is. But I think the Magic, you know, want to get a little bit more financial flexibility. You know, I honestly, if it were Wiseman and Oubre, that honestly might get the, that might get it done. If you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that gets it done because you know Wiseman is such a high level prospect. You know, maybe they'll throw in a free Mo Bamba for you there, but I think that the Magic are truly trying to turn the page and turn a new leaf here, and it's just about finding the right deals for some of these guys. Vucevic will be a lot tougher to move than others. I think the priority right now is let's find the best deal we can for Aaron Gordon. You know, maximize whatever we can out of Evan Fournier's expiring contract, and start looking ahead to the future.
Let us know what you guys think. If you would pull the trigger on these deals, I'm on Twitter at WC Goldberg. Remember to listen to and subscribe to Locked On Warriors. Philip is on Twitter at Philip RR_OMD on Twitter. And of course, is the host of Locked On Magic. Subscribe, rate, review all these podcasts. And of course, thanks for listening. Philip, we're going to have a lot of stuff, I think, to keep talking, both of these teams to talk about when this trade deadline is over. So people are going to definitely want to subscribe to these shows.
Yep, absolutely. Going to be a busy couple days here. I've got too much to do and not enough time to do it.
Thanks again to Philip Rossman-Reich for joining me on the show. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. I'll see you here tomorrow morning.